You are listening to episode number 168 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to yet another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am your host, as always, Ben, a.k.a. Marvelous Iggy. As something comes out of Jonathan's ear, joining me, Jonathan Cartwright. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Hi, and by the hoary host of Hoggoth, I'm here in Oklahoma, ready to do another episode.
Also joining me from the Red District of New York City, Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli.
And, of course, joining us from Boston, who apparently likes the Red Sox, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Iggy.
All right, so get on with the news, Brian.
Okay, we'll start off with a favorite of Ben's this week. Turns out Doc Strange is happening, folks. Yeah, we've got a director lined up and a short list of actors set to play the role of Sorcerer Supreme. The man announced to direct the film is a man named Scott Derrickson, who has the following credits to his director filmography. He directed The Exorcism of Emily Rose. He directed the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still. He directed Sinister. And he also directed The Hellraiser Inferno. Yeah. Now, director aside, there has already been named a short list of actors set to take on the role of Stephen Strange. At the top of that list, first announced was Jared Leto, who, as we all know, just took away an Academy Award for the Dallas Buyers Club, wherein he played a transvestite, I believe it was. I don't know. Following him on the short list is Tom Hardy. Yeah, Tom Hardy. Bane. He's on the list to play Mr. Stephen Strange. And also Benedict Cumberbatch, BBC Sherlock, and Star Trek Into Darkness' Khan. And that's all we really got right now for the Doctor Strange project, but that's what we're looking at for a short list of actors and the director.
Out of the short list given there, Benedict Cumberbatch is easily the best pick. He has the most charisma. I feel like he can carry a movie by himself. I loved his performance as the he wasn't necessarily a hero in this, but as the as Khan, and during those emotional scenes where he talked about his people, I believed it. I feel like he's the best choice. Maybe he doesn't look. I mean, like I'm not the person who cares if he looks like it. And I feel like he can bring the best acting abilities to Doctor Strange, to Doctor Stephen Strange, the future Sorcerer Supreme. It's Benedict Cumberbatch or Cumberbatch, whatever the fuck his name is, because I butcher his name no matter what.
Everyone butchers his name.
It's him or bust. It's him or nothing else. Anything else is less than A+ material, in my opinion. So there you go. And I don't know who the director is because I don't like Days After Tomorrow or whatever that one movie. What did he do? The last song?
Day of the Earth Still.
Yeah,
with Keanu.
That movie was terrible. I did not like that movie at all. So that's
he directed Hellraiser. I'm sorry, did you say he directed Hellraiser Inferno?
Yes, he did that as well, John. Yeah.
That's actually not one of the worst entries in the direct-to-video series. Seriously, actually, it might be a good choice.
Well, I've never seen it, but I can only go off that. And I'm not. I can only go off that, but even then, I won't deter it from anything. It has. I just really want Cumberbatch to... Cumberbatch, whatever. When do you say it, you want to say Cumberbatch?
Cumberbatch.
You want to say I want to say Cumberpatch. I don't know why.
I want to say Cumberbun.
Cumberbun?
Cumberbatch. I'm going to call him Sherlock. I'm just going to call him Sherlock.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good choice for Doctor Strange.
I'm just going to call him. Look, Sherlock for Doctor Strange, okay? Sherlock for Doctor Strange.
Ben Affleck?
Affleck. All right, you guys go.
Paul Walker.
Go ahead.
Okay, let's have Taser, you go first.
I'm happy that Doc's getting a movie. If Cumberbatch, Cumberbun, you know, Cumsnatch, whatever, if he gets the role, I'm good. Who I always kind of thought would fit that role perfectly, even though I've never heard him do a straight non-European accent, would have been Timothy Dalton. I think Timothy Dalton kind of looks like Dr. Strange.
Oh, that's not a bad pick.
You know? But like I said, Cumberbatch, I'm good. I don't know the director. I don't think I've seen anything he's done, and I'm ambivalent about that. I think any director, as long as he gets the job done, I'm good with, even if he's some no-name, you know? Yay on Dr. Strange getting a movie.
Okay, John, you want to go?
And all Paul Walker stuff, joke aside and all that, I'm actually happy to see Doctor Strange get a film treatment because he's one of my favorite characters and had been for years because, you know, you've heard previous casts that I'm a major Defenders nut. And Benedict Cumberbatch I'll just say Sherlock because I'm tired of butchering his name too. Sherlock is pretty, you know, would be a pretty good choice for Doctor Strange. And as for the director, I'm not as familiar, but I mean, I've seen Hellraiser Inferno, and it was a step up from the previous movie, and it was one of the better ones of the direct-to-video Hellraiser films. And the guy didn't do a bad job on that one, so I can kind of have some high hope, relatively decent hopes for this film. So I'm just glad to see him getting made.
All right, cool.
That's it.
I the only thing I've seen from this guy, I've seen all the way through, is The Day the Earth Stood Still, which admittedly was a subpar movie, but that doesn't speak anything to the directing of it. I thought the directing of it was fine. So that's, you know, perfectly reasonable. I will say that of the three, I would prefer Jared Leto just because I feel like he, coming off of his Academy Award win, I feel like he has more of the, you know, natural talent. And not only that, but he sort of doesn't have that, you know, he's not like that guy. Like, you can't point to him as a clear. Like, people, if Tom Hardy got the role, people would be making jokes like he'll be talking like Bane from Dark Knight Rises. Like, by the Holy Ghost of Heaven, I banish. You know, that'd be like that, which would be funny. But, you know, also is kind of not needed. Also,
I think Tom Hardy would do that when he has clearly more acting versatility than Byrne. Fuck the internet.
Yeah. And Benedict Cumberbatch, he's an interesting choice. I wouldn't dislike him in the role, but at the same time, I kind of think they just put him on the list because of he is who he is. You know, he's kind of got a big fan following, especially on Tumblrs. They love their
chick magnet like Loki.
For some reason, they like him. I don't know why. He looks like a chipmunk to me, and it's weird.
He's very
Loki.
He's like he's Slenderman.
But yeah, they
John
love
John's
him.
An idiot.
Ladies love Benedict Cumberbatch. So, you know, I guess in that respect, he has that aspect of Stephen Strange nailed down. But yeah, I would prefer to see Jared Leto take it. I like to see him step up and actually take on the role. Not just coming off fresh, you know, he'd be a fresh face for the series, but I'd like to see him do it. So that's kind of what I got to say about that. That's it.
All right, so Doctor Strange, there you go. I forgot Tom Hardy was up for the role, despite that you just said it a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
You were merely molded by the Sorcerer Supreme. I was born in it. I don't know the fucking line. If I knew the line, I would do it.
You sound like you're doing Christopher Walken, too.
I am surrounded by the cosmos. I was born in it, enveloped in it.
I tried to do a Christopher Walken impersonation. I can't do that. Hey, it goes to that one short gangster guy who was in Goodfellas. I can't remember his name. Short guy.
Ray Liotta?
No, it wasn't Ray Liotta.
Danny DeVito?
No, it wasn't Danny DeVito.
Uncle Vinny?
Yes.
Joe Pesci?
Yeah, Joe Pesci. Yeah, it turns into Joe fucking Pesci. Is he dead?
No, he's not dead.
Okay, I don't know why.
Tracy Morgan might soon be. Ho ho!
Oh, that's fucked up.
Okay, Dish, because I don't know.
All walkers, Dormammu.
Dish, why is Tracy Morgan going to die?
He was in a car accident. Like a 12-car pile. Yeah, he's in critical condition in New York.
I thought that was a joke.
No, yeah, Taser was being serious. He might actually be dead.
Yeah.
God.
Kind of like when Lou Ferrigno was supposedly dead in the car wreck, and it turned out to be a hoax.
His limo got steamrolled by a Walmart delivery truck.
I know he didn't hear it coming, but...
Delivery truck.
God damn. Well, no.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I heard Lou Ferrigno was the limo driver. He didn't hear it coming. Oh!
This is terrible. Can we move on to the
end? Right, yeah, let's move on to more depressing... Well, not depressing news, but more news about the Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the Fantastic Four? No.
So, shut up. John! Shut your pie hole. Okay. So, in case you missed it, and how could you with the whole media blitz that went on, Edgar Wright left Ant-Man amidst No Hard Feelings controversy. So, they had to find a new director, and it turns out they've already found him. Assigned to the project now to fill Edgar Wright's shoes on the Ant-Man film is a man named Peyton Reed, whose directorial credits include Yes Man, The Breakup, and Bring It On, the original one. Also signed on to the project, but not directing, Adam McKay will be involved in some capacity. I think some rewrites of the script are in order after Edgar Wright's departure. Adam McKay wrote and was a producer for Step Brothers, the second Anchorman, and the original Anchorman. He's Will Ferrell's go-to guy for these kind of films. He also did The Other Guy.
So is Will Ferrell going to be Ant-Man now?
Oh, God, I hope not.
He'd be a better Doctor Strange if we saw the picture of him.
If he was back in his fitness days, sure.
If he was Ant-Man, I would demand Nick Cage gets the role as Doctor Strange. I'm going to steal the book of Ashanti.
That mustache. Awesome.
What? Oh, isn't there like a fan op of that?
Yeah. I posted it over in the Marvel News
there
thread.
There you go. I knew that was a thing.
So that's what we're looking at now for the Ant-Man project. Peyton Reed's attached to direct, and Adam McKay will conduct some rewrites of the script.
You know what?
Yay!
I feel so bad for Paul Rudd. Because, like, I feel like he's going to be the one that's hurt. Because I feel like... I don't know who Adam McKay is. And this... I'm not going to lie. This project has lost all motherfucking steam in a matter of days.
Yep. Same.
Because I like Ant-Man. I like Paul Rudd. I like old Michael Douglas. I like those actors in the movie. I like those actors individually. But when you do Ant-Man, the thing that was going to make it interesting for me, at least... was the fact that it was going to be Edgar Wright and his auteur skill to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And to me, when you take that away of the promise that was, it kind of hurts the film. Now, it could overall be a damn fine, good film, but I will still always peg for what Edgar Wright wanted to do. So there you go. Nothing
what
against
could Well, that's the thing, exactly. too. This movie will forever be like Edgar Wright. Wonder what he would have done. This is all that's going to be
Paul
now.
Rudd, for Michael Douglas, for Adam McKay.
That sucks for everybody involved, too. Because Edgar Wright's not going to hear the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm with you, Ben. This whole thing just reeks of just disappointment to me now. And it's always just going to be, you know, this movie probably wasn't as good as it could have been under Edgar Wright. And, oh, this sucks. Poor, they had to work with this. They had to do that. You know, this just, it really sucks. This movie is like, I wouldn't, if they canceled it right now, I probably wouldn't feel as bad as I would if I went into it and I didn't like the movies that came out. So I guess, yeah, my enthusiasm has sufficiently waned and I just hope it doesn't ruin anybody's career. But, yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
Too bad this couldn't have been Guardians of the Galaxy. That's right, I said it.
Hey!
I said it.
It's got to be the best movie, damn it. It'll be the best thing.
It'll be the debut of Evolution in the Marvel Universe.
No wrestling references. And I'm the wrestling guy.
It's debut Godzilla 1998 for the Marvel Universe.
Didn't they already do that with Angela?
Brian, look in the chat, by the way. Okay. So there you go. We're all super bummed. Or do y'all see your thoughts? Anything more you want to say about it?
I think I'm incredibly disappointed with this. The way Ant-Man was shaping up at first, I was looking forward to it as a left field surprise with, you know, because I love Edgar Wright as a director and a writer, because Hot Fuzz, To the End of the World, and Shaun of the Dead are three of my all-time favorite, you know, comedies. And then he also did a really good job for Scott Pilgrim. And I just, when they heard that he left due to creative differences and all that, I was like, okay, well. Then they went through another director who then left within the same week. My hopes for the movie went even further down. Hopefully, I just don't know. I personally, I think they should just probably scrap it and go on, but let's see how it goes. I mean, I'm not going to get on to the new talent, so we'll just have to see.
Can we blame Disney for this?
No.
Why not? The mouse is satanic.
See? But, you know. Just saying.
It's not Disney, it's Marvel. Let's put the thing with...
Yeah, Disney, like I said, Disney.
Whatever. I love you,
Mickey. Hey, they could put Donald Duck in there, and I might be actually happy with that. But, you know, he could probably do a better job.
No, I don't think they own him. I was thinking of Adam Ant.
Oh, jeez.
I went
Adam! Adam Ant!
Fuck, I'd rather see an Adam Ant movie more than Ant-Man at this point.
Actually, I wouldn't mind an Adam movie. Because that's because he gets microscopic.
Ray Palmer
that would
sucks.
Be
Somebody likes Ray Palmer.
Well, that's true. Considering what they did to him, yeah, it's clear that
well,
he's
alive
like
now,
Palmer.
But whatever. Let's move on. This isn't that show. We actually come out on time. At all.
Oh!
They don't care.
No.
They don't give a shit.
Headshot.
It's hard to be a rival when you already stomped your rival's head in. All right. So there you go. News-wise, excited for Doctor Strange and all this other stuff. Disappointed for Ant-Man and that it's going to be, you know, sucks. Next year is going to be interesting to watch. Get your Guardians of the Galaxy hype train, boys. All right.
Snore.
So, woo-hoo. Let's go. It's time for Book of the Week. And originally there was not going to be a Book of the Week, boys and girls. Then you meet the young me that I'm writing 6 days ago, writing on the bus. And I'm like, you know what? I want to read Original Sin on my way to go get some Panda Express. Which, by the way, did you know they serve bacon in their orange chicken now?
I did not know that.
Did you know that? I didn't know that. It's delicious. Anyways, this is not the food podcast. Although there's a podcast for that. Original Sin number 3. Answers at All Costs, the part number three of eight. Before we get to that moment, I really liked I've been digging the story overall. I like the tension that continues to build. I did like the panel where Thor says he has a sister. You know, I love the opening sequence between the dialogue of Dr. Midas, Exterminatrix, and the orb. And I liked how the funniest bit of dialogue I read this week was that his face... It's actually his face, and it's not a mask, and that he used to just make squishy noises, which I always thought it was a mask, a very creepy mask, but a mask nonetheless. And so, yeah, they capture him, Black Panther and Emma Frost, also Frank Castle and Doctor Strange, funny enough, are on the trail. Looks like they're finding the murderer. Meanwhile, we cut to Bucky Barnes, or Winter Soldier, rather, Winter Soldier, Gamora, and Moon Knight. That's an odd combination I've ever thought of. That's like a Marvel Ultimate Alliance stuff right there. I'm like, well, let's put these guys together. Heading onto this weird system, and it appears like they're following giant shell casings. You know, so interlude. Something happens. Bucky realizes something. By the way, I thought they killed Ego the Living Planet.
I know, yeah, right? So that was immediately so my thought.
I was like, is that Ego? And then they reference it. I'm like, no, that's not Ego. It's just another planet.
It was an Ego-like planet.
Yeah, I was
or life.
I was like, Ego-like fuck, they killed Ego, the living planet. Which, that's some deep Marvel shit right there.
Yeah.
So, Bucky realizes something. And he clicks a button, causing the ship that he was on... He teleports away, causing the ship that destroys... That leaves Gamora, not the turtle. Gamora and Moon Knight... Gamora and Moon Knight stranded on this unknown planetoid, transferring him back to Nick Fury, shotgun right to the chest, proceeds to shoot him, shoot his hand off, then proceeds to get a machete, channeling in a machete, and slices his head off, standing in victory as Sub-Zero.
Off with his head!
Holding Nick Fury's decapitated and the Watcher's eyeball. So, now, I will say, before Taser says in gloats, that we all saw the writing on the wall. We all saw this coming. What we didn't see was Bucky. And that, to me, is the more shocking and the more, what the fuck just happened? Because it comes out of nowhere. Just, I mean, the story's only part 3 of 8, so perhaps we will find out. I say perhaps because you never know. They might tease it for their next event. So I really, the tension just ratcheted up like crazy at the end, and I liked it. But Nick Fury's dead. Like, and at the state of what Marvel's going, he ain't coming back anytime soon. Unless, of course, Sam Jackson, the movie, dies. And they want to bring in White Nick Fury, but who knows? So, yeah.
Hasselhoff.
No. That movie's terrible. Why would you even do that?
Hey, they killed him off. I thought I'd bring it up. And
there's
always silent.
David Hasselhoff. There's always room for Hasselhoff.
Oh, God.
Show some respect.
So yeah,
I give it
a 4 out of 5. It was a very entertaining read and a shocking read that makes me want to continue with the series and see where the fuck is this actually going and how are, because none of the plot seems to connect at all. Like it all feels like just events that happen to be coincidentally connected together. So I'm very curious to see how this all comes together. So there you go.
Good Taser, point.
You speak. You're the veteran here.
I agree with you that a lot of this stuff just seemed to be a bunch of events just kind of happening. There's not any real connector. Kind of disturbing to note that Nick Fury was holding an eyeball for the better part of an issue. He was holding an eyeball.
You never held an eyeball before? I've held an eyeball before.
I've never held an eyeball before. Just a giant freaking eyeball. What I will say is, after everybody got, you know, brain blasted, to see... Hold on, wait. Here we go. Hulk smash Stark. I cannot wait for that to happen. I so cannot wait for that to happen. Because, like I was telling Bri-Bri before we started the special about the OFP, this version of Stark... He's a dick would be a good thing. He's an ass, you know? And he's an ass with the position that, well, I have an idea. Most likely I'm right, so I'm going to do with it and let the chips fall where they may. I'll just deal with it, you know, however. You know, and that leads to, you know, apathy. Look at how what went down between him and Cap in Avengers 29 and 30, you know? I mean, first of all, I'm disappointed with Hickman and that he had Cap just remember. You know, the spell just wore off. Like, really? What the fuck? But anyway, so when, you know, when they confront him and you know, Tony's just all about, you know, so what you gonna do? What you gonna do, man? What you gonna do? This is, that seems to be, because we have this Tony this seems to be something that would happen because we have this kind of Tony. You know, something's going to happen, and it's going to tie into Hulk, you know, Banner becoming Hulk, and it'll be something that Tony likely has coming to him. You know, it'll be his fault, which is kind of a disappointment. The other stuff with, well, we know the thing about Thor, you know, his sister. We know about that because, you know, Marvel ruined that, you know, way back when. But the thing with Cage, that looks interesting. Whatever happened to Spider-Man, I've really got to see. Because, you know, with his backstory, it's got to be really effing pathetic and sad.
Isn't it that girl?
Which one?
The new one they're introducing over in Amazing Spider-Man? Isn't she his original sin? I thought she was.
The midget or some... Cause I didn't
no. The new spider, the one who they revealed she got bit by the same spider he did.
Oh!
I'm pretty sure she's his sin.
Okay, yeah, you might be right. But that, how would that be his? See, that's what I don't get.
Yeah, I know. I don't really get it either.
It'll wind up being his daughter that was discontinuity a while back.
But that still wouldn't be a sin because his other kid was stolen.
It's Norman Osborn to Mary Jane's love baby.
Could be.
Or no, not Mary Jane. Well, but it could be the other kid that Norman Osborn and Gwen Stacy had.
Hey, maybe whereas Aunt May and Uncle Ben never had a kid, on them.
Oh, but that's
turns out
that still would be a sin for him, though. And I think it would have to be that personal. But
maybe
you know,
they gave her up so they could keep Peter.
This is the kind of shit that they're writing. The one thing I've had a problem with this series so far is everybody's been shot with, you know, magic green, super scientific green bullets. You know, other dimensions, green bullets. Planet-sized organisms, green bullets. The Watcher got shot in the head. You know, considering the universe that we're working with, I would have expected death to come in many different forms, considering the life forms involved. Here, it's just that pathetically simple, in my opinion. Magic green bullets, you know? I mean, it's like the Kennedy thing, you know? And I don't know, that's kind of sad. Although, the whole schematic of secrets being left, you know, being revealed after a long period of time or whatever, that still kept me, you know, coming back to this. And like Iggy had just said, the whole freaking Nick Fury being hacked apart. that's just all kinds of like what the fuckness, and you know my attention is now increased, you know, over this. I will definitely be here for the next two because I expect that we should be getting some type of explanation as to why Bucky did what he did in the next one, and if not that, at least the one after it. And I can't wait for that. I can honestly say this was a holy gee whiz fuck, I'm glad I read it issue. I can honestly say that. I'm done.
You and the Jokers have anything to say about this?
I swear that it's like the way you described it as it's like a bunch of events just, you know, being joined by, you know, like that don't seem to have anything together. And my thought was, is Jeff Johns writing this now? but because, you know, we're seeing trademarks, you know, big green bullets, you know, and
what the fuck does green bullets have to do with Jeff Johns?
Kryptonite bullets, you know.
What?
That wasn't Jeff Johns.
Green Lantern's Jeff Johns.
But anyway.
You're just wanting to hate on Jeff Johns. You suck.
That's allowable.
No.
No, it's not.
I'll allow it.
Jeff is a saint. Leave him alone.
Then there's the whole thing with, you know, Hulk smashing Tony Stark. That I was like, okay, now it means Tony Stark's going to be involved somehow with Hulk's origin.
The
Thor
cover says it all.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Then Thor, you know, remembering that he has a sister now all of a sudden, who is just going to be all of a sudden going to be Angela. It just, I don't know. It's been a good story. It's just, I don't know, just like there's too many. It's kind of going all over the place. And I know that, you know, that it's going to do that to show the various plot threads due to the whole Original Sin, that secrets are, long buried secrets are coming back to haunt everyone who has had them. And then, you know, then the ending, which with Winter Soldier going, you know, sub-zero on Nick Fury, I was just like, okay, now I understand why Ben was having the DEFCON 5 fit. You know, and I was like, okay. And the only thing I can think of is the reason why Winter Soldier did this is because Bucky just went completely nuts. Or it somehow winds up that Nick Fury was the one that killed the Watcher and getting paid, you know, and he figured it out and says, no, you know, no more secrets and goes on. But I don't know. It's just weird. That's about all I can say about it. But, I mean, now we know they got rid of the original Nick Fury, and now we have blurry everywhere. That's all I know. You know? It's Disney. Disney killed the Watcher.
The mouse!
But all joking aside, my wife's looking at me like, you know, oh, good grief, stop your bitching. But I will say this, the art was good. I like how they mixed everybody up. You know, who would ever thought you'd see Doctor Strange teaming up with the Punisher in any way, shape, or form? And that's the fact that it's, and then it actually is kind of enjoyable and working for me. This is what really, really gets to me. Then you have Gamora and Moon Knight and Winter Soldier working together, and I'm just like, you can't get any more, you know, whacked out on that. And to be honest, I didn't realize that was Moon Knight. I thought it might have been Star-Lord. You know, then again, I haven't been reading Guardians for so long that I just, you know. Of course, I don't read Moon Knight either. I'm not the Moon Knight fan of the cast here. But all in all, it was shaping up to be a fairly, it's been being interesting. It's just, but some of it does suffer from it. It's just kind of all over the place. There's not really seems to be a streamline to it. And sometimes that will work in favor of a story, and sometimes it don't. We'll see, have to see the next issue or two and how they bring it all together. Because, you know, it can either wind up being, really tight-filled, same into the one story, or it's going to, like you said, going to wind up going into the next event, which I think is going to be in the fall. You know, we're going with two events a year now instead of one. But that's a whole other gripe and in a issue for a podcast later. I will give them credit. It was an entertaining read. I just glad I didn't pay for it. I'll just say that. And that's all I got to say on it.
My question, did anybody recognize the shooter for the being that killed the Eagle-type planet?
No.
No, I did not.
Okay, because I was trying to place it, and nothing was coming to mind.
And I honestly thought that was Ego when I saw that.
Yeah, I kind of thought so, too. That would have been something.
I was like, no, and we would have been the only ones that cared.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
Well, isn't Ego kind of a dick anyway? I mean,
I don't know anything about him. I just know he exists.
Yeah, he is a bit of a dick. But, you know,
more than a bit of a dick, but it would have been interesting if they'd have offed him.
Okay, question. How come Galactus hasn't eaten him yet?
Because Galactus isn't here.
Oh, that's no. I mean, prior, like he's been around, like for like, how the fuck has Ego?
Oh no, he tried.
Oh,
he's tried.
He's
several
tried.
Times.
Really? Yeah. Has Ego beat him off or something? Lol.
Stuff happens. Usually,
beats
stuff
him
happens.
Off.
Ego's the only planet that can say no, and he's like,
no.
Oh,
usually, what happens is Ego runs into other heroes, and they kind of run interference.
Okay, he's just like, I'm gonna go now.
Stop.
Does he just drift away like Mogo?
He runs. When Ego moves, he moves.
Okay.
He doesn't just kind of la 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 la.
They even had to deal. The Celestials were trying to do stuff to him too. And
that's right.
He ran off as quick as he could.
And Ego also once substituted himself for the Zendarian world mine and tried to play home to the Nova Corps and then started taking over the Novas.
All right, more Ego retrospective later. Let's move on. Brian.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Let's move on to you, Brian.
Oh, Nick Fury.
Keep your keep your sentimental bullshit away.
Good night, sweet prince. We hardly knew ye.
You know what? Nick Fury would not want you to say that about him. You know
yeah,
that.
That's
you,
true.
You know that.
Well, I don't got a bottle of Jack next to me, so I'll make him
then
do it.
Then go
like
get
that.
One, you lazy Bostonian.
You know what, though? Nick Fury deserves it, damn it. Nick
anyway,
Fury deserves it.
Like Ben stated and like was stated, you know, we sort of saw the writing on the wall. Nick Fury had been absent from comics for a long time, for a little while before this. And then they just bring him back and make him the arbiter of all these, you know, people going out and doing all this stuff. So
stuff.
Yeah, I will agree with Ben, though, that seeing a Bucky was the one who killed Fury was the thing that took me by surprise. I expected his killer to remain in the dark, be the same person that offed the Watcher, but apparently that didn't work out. So what happened with Bucky was just a fucking... Like, how are they going to explain this one? Like, what's going to happen? This has
Steve's
me...
Steve's going to be pissed.
Oh, Steve's going to be so... Oh, he's not the only one. Natasha's going to be so angry with him, too.
Pissed.
Oh, Lord. Wolverine. When Wolverine gets his hands on Bucky, man.
Well... Oh, you
and
mean he's going to grab him and not stab
Ben.
Him? Well, he's not going to... He's going to die, too, so...
Maybe Bucky will kill Wolverine, too!
Yeah, right.
No,
it's a conspiracy. No, I'm just saying.
Conspiracy.
Look, trying to ignore the very heavy event that is the death of Nick Fury, this issue did in fact deepen the mystery. It has me very entrenched, very invested in what's going on, in who is the man or the entity doing all this. Because we keep getting glimpses of who these old guys are, that or these people are that are like, oh, we'll need more of these bullets and stuff. And I'm like, who are these people? But I'm interested
Namor.
To see how it's
going to...
Oh, if it's Namor, I'm going to be super disappointed because I did not give him credit for being this smart. But
woohoo! Namor! He's a big bad.
It's
yay.
Namor from the future.
Although I do like how Steve out of everyone like kept his shit together when he saw his big secrets, like, you know, why didn't you go light out? Why didn't you run off? And he's just like, that's not the mission. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like Steve. That sounds like something he'd do. Why Hulk didn't immediately rip into Iron Man is beyond me, because, you know, Hulk...
Maybe he tried and it was just off-panel. We didn't see.
Well, yeah, because that's probably going to be the tie-in, because like Nick said, it's all he can do to keep Hulk from tearing Stark apart for some reason.
What
yeah,
I'd like
so.
To know is, why didn't Nick see a secret?
Maybe that's going to be a story going on.
Yeah, that's the
thing.
But
a dead guy?
He's like,
dead.
Nick Fury, more than anybody else, should have something to be seen, but he didn't. He even says so himself.
I mean, they don't. You wouldn't mention that in the dialogue. That's not a throwaway. That's not a throwaway line.
No, that's setup. That's foreshadowing. So we'll see what happens. Also, thanks for stranding Moon Knight in the middle of fucking nowhere. Thanks.
Hey, that's why they're going to get the new creator team.
He's stuck with Gamora. Can you think of any worse person, or a better person, rather, to be
stuck with? Gamora?
Gamora, I said.
Okay.
You said,
yeah.
Gamora.
He's stuck with a hot green alien chick.
You know yeah, you know, come you know to think of it. What?
Is if Gamora could transform into a turtle.
Oh, God.
That's
awful.
Wait a minute. Can you see her pulling in her arms and legs and just spinning around?
Yes.
Fire?
Jesus.
She's the lost Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Oh, is she the female one they tried to introduce, but didn't
get
yes.
Okay, yeah, she got shot in the space.
Think? Wasn't her name Da Vinci, I think?
No, I don't fucking... It was
Venus. It was Venus DeMilo, I think, or something
yeah,
like
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
Now I get to watch the Gamera films when I get home tonight. Thanks.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I thought it was a decent read. Nick Fury, you will be missed until you come back. I give it a 4 out of 5.
3 months.
All right, there you go. So let us know what you thought about the shocking death of Nick Fury. And there you go. Time for a quick individual review time, because we're running late. I'm tired. I've missed all of the Sony E3 press conference thanks to this.
And he missed his wrestling.
I don't care about wrestling. Wrestling's all time right now. I don't care about wrestling.
Wow.
Well, it's whatever. Okay. The point is, Captain America number 21. I've been talking about this series, and apparently I'm the only one reading it. This issue was basically the culmination, the final story of the Iron Nail story arc that's been going on, where it's the final confrontation. The stakes are super high. The Gungnir shield helicarrier is transformed into a giant sword-wielding giant robot terrorizing an Eastern European country.
Bum, bum, bum.
Nick, it's basically like a sort of a race against time. It almost feels like an episode of 24, but less swearing by Jack Bauer. So maybe it's not an episode of 24 then, but if the tension is high is what I'm saying. Great action by Cap, just sort of that, come on, Cap, come on, come on, come on. A battle of ideologies. This Iron Nail is clearly the new man. At least to me, he's taken the role of the Mandarin as the Eastern ideology who hates American capitalism. So I like that. I like when characters like that show up. Here's the big thing though that happens throughout the issue. The Iron Nail has this thing in his chest that's sort of like sticky stuff. It's not really clear what it is. Sticks it on the Cap, and slowly but surely, as the panels go on, you see Cap look younger, look older and older and weaker and weaker, until finally he has to stop the self-destruction sequence, and he throws his shield for one last, somehow manages to get inside the core to stop the Gungnir to use its lightning sword on the small Eastern European country. Until finally, it's revealed that Steve Rogers is nothing now but a frail old man. Exactly like how Taser's talking. Falcon gets an awesome single page splash of him kicking the shit out of the Iron Nail. So props to Falcon lovers.
Yeah, black guy got to do something. Yay!
Well, he's been injured for most of this arc, and he rescues him. I don't think the Iron Nail's dead. He's shown being burned, but I don't think he's dead. I hope he's not dead. I really like him as a character, and I hope he comes back. And the end of the issue is just so like, they won, yeah, but look at what they fucking lost. Steve lost his powers, and it showed that even like internally before that, he was losing it because he couldn't. He started reminiscing of. He started reminiscing about, you know, his time in Dimension Z, and Sharon's gone. Like he comes off here more as a tired warrior than he has been recently, probably because of like how long he was in Dimension Z, and that added years onto him, you know. And it just ends with like sort of like a solemn victory. Like, sure, the good guys won, but look at what had to happen.
A pirate victory,
huh?
A pyrrhic victory.
Yeah.
And it has heavy costs.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and the end is just super soldier no more. And I'm like, you know, I read this right after Original Sin. I was like, holy fucking shit, you just did that. What the hell?
That happened.
You know, it was like, and to me, you don't feel this moment unless you've been reading since the beginning. Because this is like the culmination of all the shit he's been through since the run started when he got trapped in Dimension Z all the way back in 2011. 12? 11, whatever. I give 5 out of 5. It was a well damn done conclusion. Yeah, great high stakes, great action. Really, really awkward ending. Not in the bad way either. But yeah, I really am digging this book. And the last two issues reminded me, like, oh, yeah, I do like this book a lot. And not enough people are talking about it. So yeah, I can't wait till Captain America 22 comes out. I really want to see where this can go next. What is Remender going to do now that Cap is virtually bedridden? You know, he can't, you know. So yeah.
Cap armor.
No, fuck, no, this is the nice. So there you go. B-Rai, you got a book?
I do indeed. I do. It is Amazing X-Men number 8, the start of World War Wendigo. And here we go. We open
I'm
the story.
I took that because I wanted to.
I know. We open the story with the CC&E Meat Company in Ontario, Canada, where two guys are getting in a fight over apparently an unfaithful girlfriend. One dude knocks him the fuck out, and then he breaks his neck inadvertently and unfortunately dies. So to cover up his crime, the other dude takes him, grinds him into meat, and his human body is interspersed with the beef and the pork and all this other stuff. Following that, we get a glimpse of Wolverine taking some time off in Canada to visit some friends. That is Heather McDonald, a.k.a. The Vindicator, who is married to... Oh, God, what's his ID? I know his name's, like, Michael something, but... Taser, help me out. What's his name?
Who are we talking about?
Vindicator's husband. What's his deal?
Oh, Hudson. James
Thank
James
you. Hudson. Yeah,
seriously?
Donald Hudson.
Thank you. So, yeah, he takes a lot of time off to visit her. Unfortunately, she's distracted because her husband went on a mission for Department H, and he's since gone missing. So Wolverine decides that he and her will go check out his last known location, see if they can't figure out what happened to him. Meanwhile, at the Jean Grey School, Aurora can't seem to find Logan anywhere, and while Piotr is off reconnecting with Kurt, she goes and interrogates people as to where Logan went. She gets the Bobby... And Bobby, of course, is a terrible liar who tells her that, you know, he didn't see her leave. No, not, wait, who said leave? I haven't seen him at all, you know. What was the question? And what I love is that Storm breaks out the whole short leash thing where it's like, did I not tell each and every person that Logan cannot leave without anybody knowing what? Like, holy shit, you have him on a short leash ever since he lost his healing factor. But regardless...
It's
Bobby spills the beans that he went off to Canada, but doesn't know where, so she goes with Rachel Gray to try and find him on Cerebro. Meanwhile, back in Canada, Logan and Vindicator investigate a sort of abandoned town. Logan's retracing James Hudson's steps kind of through smell, and he finds his last known location... And it's kind of given away, implied what happens, but I'll hold off on that for just a second. Logan turns to her and says, we've got to get out of here. You have to go now. You have to run. And you have to go get Alpha Flight, get the X-Men, get everybody, and bring them back here now because stuff is about to hit the fan. Meanwhile, back at the Jean Grey School, Rachel Grey is scanning for Logan somewhere in Canada. And... while they're looking for him, Vindicator is fleeing the fight, and she's trying to call Puck to back her up. And she's been in kind of a slump lately, and so they're kind of like, oh, she's just calling the bitch and moan and stuff. So he lets her go to voicemail so that he can hop into bed with Talisman, a.k.a. the two young men. So Puck is getting it done. He's like, yeah, I'll let this slide.
So he's banging Mike's daughter. That's effing hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
I would have never seen that coming.
Puck and Talisman are an item now. And while Vindicator is fleeing, we are finally told what the fuck happened. Turns out that all that tainted meat made the rounds, and everybody in that town is now a Wendigo.
Wendigo!
They get a hold of Heather, and looks like they're going to tear her apart, and Wolverine runs smack into an entire forest full of Wendigo. And that's where the first issue ends. And so, holy shit. This story arc just grabbed my attention by the throat and, like, throttling it. This is really good stuff. I know, but I'm excited to see where this goes, because it does seem interesting. And it blends X-Men... and Alpha Flight, who can be good when written well. So I'm interested.
They can never be good.
John
Byrne did a good job.
Polite. Yeah, they're too good. They're too polite. But I'm interested to see where this story arc goes with the whole tainted meat stuff and how far this spread. But I'm really digging the issue. I thought it was disgusting. Great. Well, you know.
Wendigos are created, though.
Yeah, it's cannibalism.
I didn't need to know that. I never knew that. Now I hate Wendigo now.
Yeah, now you know it.
I think we can be sued for that, but whatever.
So, yeah, I love this issue. I give it a 4 out of 5. The throwing in of Puck with Talisman, even though I'm not an avid Alpha Flight fan, was just like, holy shit. Good for you, Puck. But, yeah, this has me intrigued, so 4 out of 5 for me.
See, my problem with this issue was not the... Puck banging Talisman thing, which I just funny. Not Angelica going, why would I want to know where Wolverine is? He smells ew.
She comes off as a bit snobbish, which I thought was interesting. And
yeah,
I like it, you know, that was like, really? And Wolverine apparently smells a lot. That was also new.
Yeah. The Beast that mentions it too, so.
Exactly. You know, like, wow, really? What I thought was very, very interesting is I think I might have been the only one who read the last Alpha Flight mini.
And oh, was that the Fear Itself? Or was that not Fear Itself?
No, that was, I think it was after Fear Itself. It was the 4 or 5 issue mini, and it was the one where you had the Master come back, and he was turning people against superhuman.
Oh, yes! Well, one word, she take, yes! Oh my, you go.
And you, so do you remember what happened to Heather at the end of that?
Yeah, she kidnapped her and Hudson's
right.
And ran. And now all of a sudden, what the, yeah, I thought I was going crazy. I thought I was like, I must have missed something. But no, apparently I didn't.
You didn't, but apparently this writer did, and either that, or they just kind of went, whatever.
They, like, fuck reconciled it. Off screen,
they
I
pulled
guess.
A me. They pulled a me. Fuck it, move on, let's go.
Yeah, that's what I didn't like about this issue because
thank God because I thought it was going nuts. Goodness,
that was the one thing that really bothered me about this because it swept it underneath the table. But
yeah,
since this is apparently what we're dealing with now, I had fun
Marvel
with the
now, bitches.
Yeah, exactly. Marvel now means we can say something in one issue and then not give a damn and do something else.
Aha!
Later, it doesn't matter.
Long story's good.
There you go. I enjoyed it too, and I'm a big Alpha Flight fan, so I, you know, that's no news. But
hints for like a Canadian.
Freaking a whole town full of Wendigos.
Yeah.
Healing
Factor Wolverine isn't for some shit kicking.
Only Wendigo I ever read was Hulk, Incredible Hulk number 171, 172. It's only Wendigo I've ever read.
Really?
Yeah. He's never shown up in any other comic I've read, funny enough.
That's because you don't read good comics. Anyway.
Yeah.
My absolute DC New Frontier would disagree with you.
Yeah. Like I said, you don't read good comics. Anyway, when two of them had Heather and they were basically pulling her in two different directions, I was getting ready to get really, really happy.
Yeah, like they just rip her in half.
Yes. Yeah, well, kind of like what happened to Colossus in Days of Future Present.
Yeah, oh my goodness, yes. Yes.
But he got there too soon, and I don't think it happened. So, you know, whatever. But I also will be looking forward to the next issue. I'll give this a 4.3 Warriors. I really enjoyed this issue, even if Heather does survive.
Do you have a book, T-Man?
No, I'll keep it short.
He'll just co-sign my review, pretty much.
Exactly.
Wendigo. All right, John.
Well, I'll make mine real quick because I did read it pretty brief.
Because we're really fucking running late.
I'll do it within the length list. I won't give you a full review or anything. I'll just say this. It was a pretty good – it was Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, Shang-Chi, Getting Shit Done. Overall review,
wearing that stupid suit?
No, he's not wearing the suit.
He's
wearing
a sports suit.
He's wearing more of the secret agent type thing, you know, normal clothing type thing. But basically, one of the highlights is this girl gets torn in half by a Razor Fist, you know, the guy with both swords or hands, literally picks her up and rips her completely in half.
Yeah,
and
Razor Fist,
right. Yeah. And and Shang-Chi is out to avenge her death and trying to find out why she was being killed. He takes out Crossbones from Captain America pretty damn easily, which I thought I laughed my ass off on, and because I'm not a big Crossbones fan, because I just never saw him as a Cap villain. And it was a pretty quick, easy read, and it shows Shang-Chi as his best. He's getting, you know, he goes off the reservation, so to speak, with S.H.I.E.L.D. and all them, and he, this other guy who works for MI6, which the lady worked for them, basically somebody told him, well, how come you're not going to arrest him? And he's like, why? We'll let him do all the work and we'll swoop in and, you know, take care of the rest. You know, because he knows that Shang-Chi's going to do whatever he needs to do to avenge the lady's death. It's a good quick read, and while I don't know if I could see it as a unlimited series, if it's like Iron Fist and be like a like a limited series in some way, I will keep an eye on that, and I will try to do a better review, you know, one of our next podcasts when we're not here so late. It was written by a gentleman named Benson. The last name is Benson.
Honeydew.
And what?
Benson Honeydew.
No, I don't think so, honey. But because I can't really find the proper credits in here, which kind of aggravates me. But
I'm gonna take a wild guess and maybe say that was Doug Benson, who's
probably done
some
Mike
others.
Benson.
Or well, Mike Benson, yeah.
Last name Benson. That's
Johnny Vincent? What?
And then the art was done by a guy named, the last name is Watt, H-U-A-T, and probably what? Done by who?
What?
What and where?
What are you saying?
Who's that?
What?
Okay, here we go.
What?
It was Mike Benson was the
what?
Writer.
Who?
Yeah. What?
Mike
what?
Benson.
What?
Okay, Stone.
What?
Where?
What? What?
Who?
The art was done by Tan Eng Huat.
What?
And, and then the next issue, it looks like Shang-Chi gets to get involved with the Misty Knight.
What?
So,
who?
Who?
What?
Where? Okay, I think Ben's lost it, so let's go ahead and end it now.
What?
Yeah,
oh
dear.
He's stuck on his Apocalypse Academy Award winning end credit scene.
What?
Who?
Where? Why?
And Jesus was in this book too.
What?
Jesus did colors.
What? Alright, I'm done. I'm done with my Stone Cold impersonation.
And Buddha?
Okay. Oh, this is long. Thank you for listening. We'll see y'all next week for another exciting, thrilling, fun, amazing, spectacular, friendly neighborhood, courageous, uncanny. Incredible, indestructible,
avenging,
whoring episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast.
Marvel,
good night, Nick Fury. Farewell, dude.
Good night, sweet prince.
I'm saying good night to the LMD. That's what
he is. Flights of Valkyrie sing thee to thy shitty motel room.
Stop being sentimental.
Good
for
night,
me.
Sweetheart. Well, it's time to go.
Swing low, sweet chariot. Come.